Hey, 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 welcome to the follow-up episode to Tableau Conference 23. We have had quite the role lately with big guests. We've had Jeff Schaefer, Sam O'Droll, we've had Zifa, we've had Ryan Nanny and Bo McCready, we've had Mark Benioff, we've had Ryan Ate, we've had Will Perkins, and believe it or not, that's only all been since late March. So we've had a lot of guest-heavy episodes lately, so this is a guest-light episode, with the exception of some calls that we're taking at the end. So stay on till the end. We've got some guest call-ins from some of you that attended Tableau Conference 23, getting your feedback about the event. So for me, this was my first Tableau Conference back in person since Tableau Conference 2019 in November of 2019. So it's been a very, very long time for me. But fortunately, it felt like no time had passed at all. In between the setup of the conference, the familiarity, as well as all of the amazing and wonderful people I got to see. So I both got to see old friends and new, many faces that I have known for years at this point, but have never met in person. So as a type B personality that sort of feels drained by sort of in-person and a lot of activity, it was a long week, especially towards the end, but it was a great week. And it was wonderful connecting with everyone and being able to put names and voices, faces and voices with names. So thanks for everyone that I hung out with. Thanks for everyone that came up and said hi. I handed out about 4.5 to 5 pounds of swag, including a Date of His Maverick pin that Ryan Ate wore during the opening keynote, which was a total unexpected delight, but not unwelcome. So thank you for that, Ryan. And with that, I'm going to get on with some thoughts on the conference. So in terms of like overall layout of the conference, I remember last year I was not there in person, but between watching videos and hearing feedback from other folks in the data fam, it felt like Tableau had become very Salesforce heavy in terms of the theming. It was very pastoral. Obviously you had the mascots there and other stuff, but you didn't see stuff that felt very Tableau. You didn't see sort of the chart style imagery. You didn't see a lot of the Tableau sparkle. And this year was a swing back the other direction. So this year I felt had a very good synthesis of both Tableau and Salesforce together. And I thought it worked really nicely. And I had yet to really hear any complaints from anyone. So in terms of branding and marketing, whoever at the top was responsible for some of those choices, you made some really great choices. So I think everyone is starting to get more used to the fact that the mascots aren't going anywhere, but at the same time, maybe they're not for everyone, and that's okay. Having said that, the conference really kicked off with an opening keynote on Tuesday morning, and it was a spectacular opening keynote in the sense that Salesforce and Tableau recognized that they had some core issues they had to address. So there was a lot of perceptions that led to the DataFam blow up on social media back in January. And not that the DataFam is the plurality of the community or even the majority of the community, but you are the most vocal and some of the most powerful users in the community. So obviously when you're weighing in on stuff, they're listening and they know other people are listening too. If we're gonna get ugly about it, we're influencers, but let's not go there. So a couple of the main things that Salesforce had to address at this conference were rumors that this was the last Tableau conference on Earth, which we were fortunately able to sort of break that story in our last episode of Data Plus Love when Mark Benioff announced that it would be in San Diego. Some of the other rumors were that essentially Tableau is strictly becoming a Salesforce module, and that's what this opening keynote did an excellent job of dispelling. One of the breakout features that they showed during it, in addition to Tableau Pulse, which is powered by Tableau GPT, you know, more AI integrations into the product, which would hopefully bring more direct analytics straight to users without them having to understand how to build things. It would, you know, sort of intuit some of the key metrics they need to know and then allow for more advanced data and visualizations. But the big showstopper, I think, for most people was gestures. So gestures was almost in the way of like an Xbox Kinect, you know, 10 years ago, being able to leverage during a presentation gestures and motions to create and display graphics on screen. So combining different ingredients, dragging them onto the screen, creating charts live, and then not just being able to interact with them, but being able to compare them, filter on them, all sorts of stuff. It was a big showstopper, and I saw it more than once during the conference. And I am wholly convinced that that will move units. I think it's the kind of thing that boosts sales. I think we need to understand better what kind of effort goes into it. Is it a part of a core product or is it a module? Can you save you know, what you've created during the meeting to a Tableau workbook and hand off to a developer so that they can continue with the sort of analytics that you created. I think there's a lot of questions around it, but I think it's got a lot of buzz. And I think buzz is one of the things Tableau needed right now, because frankly, we hear a lot about how companies are looking to switch over to Power BI. Power BI is billed as cheaper. Everyone knows Power BI is not easier, because you have to know at least two different programming languages within it to actually build stuff, because you're doing ETL within the product. And Tableau has such a low barrier to entry. It's very easy to start working immediately, but maybe isn't as robust in those aspects. So I think a lot of the opening keynote did a lot to settle people's nerves. So between those two big topics, I think people felt really good. This was my first year to speak at Tableau Conference, which has been a bucket list item for my life. Ever since I have attended my first Tableau Conference back in 2017, even before I was engaged in the data fam, I was really excited by what I was seeing and hoped that one day I could do that. And then as I became more engaged sort of with Tableau, both as a product as well as a community, I knew it was something that I really needed to do. I really wanted to do. And it took me a long time to sort of come up with the topic I wanted, but I do hard skill stuff at work all day, but I know what made a big difference for me in terms of my learning and wanting to learn and engagement was finding ways to make learning more fun. So I presented on Wednesday, Make Learning Fun, Viz What You Love. So I think I applied for a 20-minute slot, and then they bumped me to a 40-minute, and I was on like a 200-person stage. But based on my feedback, I had at least 272 attendees. And possibly more, because I have pictures from the stage of standing room only in the back, and I think they can only count as many headsets as they give out. So a turnout was pretty good, and I felt really good during the presentation also. I was nervous leading up to it, even though, obviously, I'm here doing this. I love to speak. It was something where I had never spoken at a conference before, and especially in this conference format. So traditionally at Tableau Conference, you have breakout rooms where, you know, there's actually like a threshold and a doorway, but the way it was handled this year, there was one massive room with, I guess, 10 different stages on them, and no walls in between, so it's all just open, but it was conducted in a way similar to a silent disco, where each stage was tuned into different radio frequencies and everyone wore headphones, which in some way, as a presenter, makes you feel more distant from your audience because you've got that extra barrier between you and them, or it might feel overly intimate because you're kind of speaking directly into their heads. Either way, it was a different experience. And in some ways, it was fun. In some ways, it was sort of bothersome. There were times when this happened during mine, and I know it happened during several others, including Chart Chat Live, where Jeff Schaefer actually had to stop his presentation in the middle of it. I guess it's either the food folks or whatever are behind the scenes. So the only thing really separating you from them is curtains. So many times when their carts come by, it's almost as if a train is passing behind the stage. And while the people with headphones may not be able to hear it that clearly, you as the presenter certainly can. So it was something that could really throw you off your game if you weren't used to interruptions or, you know, get nervous talking. But I got my presentation feedback. I felt really encouraged by it. It was mostly good. So depending on the different topics, I either had 70% five-star reviews or 80% five-star reviews, depending on the different questions asked. And in terms of the remarks people left, I had about like 30 different remarks, and the only one that was really negative was this guy just really wants to talk about himself, which I'm fair, right? Like, I'm telling a story about how I learned, but I'm also trying to communicate a path forward for other people because everyone's journey is going to be different. And all I can tell you is the anecdote of what worked for me. Like, I found some treasure, and I want to tell you how to get to the treasure too. And I can't really do that via innuendo. I have to do it via anecdote. So I actually have to communicate directly to you and tell my story. And, you know, that's not for everyone. And, I mean, honestly, I don't love Zach Bowders as much as a lot of people do, which that might sound like a crazy thought because I don't know. My mom loves me. Hi, Mom. You're listening. But I don't know. Like, I don't think I'm that particularly special. But I recognize that some people may feel differently, and I never want to take anything away from anyone. So thanks for everyone that came out. I appreciate your support. I had a large cheering section sort of on the front row right in front of me, and it was fun to be able to talk with everyone before my session began, because they wire you up like 12 minutes in advance. So you're sitting there with a lavalier mic on, and you know everyone is already seated, and you're trying to find a way to introduce, to amuse yourself until that happened. So fortunately, I had friends to talk with and or heckle me. But I think this year, so I attended as many different sessions as I could. I missed a lot more sessions that I would have loved to have seen. And I'm frustrated that this year, almost nothing was filmed. So including Tableau to the Core, which was a feedback session with, you know, Ryan Ate and Francois and most of the Tableau core high-level leadership, a lot of those sessions didn't get captured at all. So I know they're hoping that a lot of people will film their sessions over Zoom and upload them to Salesforce Plus. I think it's a big loss in terms of if you were attending remotely, there's just a whole lot of sessions you didn't get to see. And I'm feeling like I missed out on many of those because so many great sessions are programmed at the same time. It's a great problem to have. It's a great problem when you have so many great things happening at once that you can't get to them all. But let me talk about conceptually what I think this year of the conference was. And I'm going to say this year of the conference is the year of the ban, and let me tell you why. So three of my favorite presentations, and this is not exhaustive, I attended a lot of presentations, but three of my favorite presentations had bans as one of the core topics in them. And if you're unfamiliar with bans, I don't know why you're listening to this, unless you're my mom, but bans are, you know, big ass numbers, as Steve Wexler dubbed them initially, or big aggregated numbers if you're trying to be professional, or big whatever other thing you can put in A to make it work. The idea is they are large numbers, hopefully with context comparing to something else, typically across the top of the page or sometimes down like a panel to the left or something, that tell you some of the most important numbers you need to be aware of. They're there to draw attention, but they're also one of the most neglected things in terms of data visualization because, frankly, they don't usually look that interesting. Or if they do look interesting, they are a pain in the aggregation to create. So if you had a large number and then comparatively the percentage change versus the previous year with an up or down arrow and maybe a color change and one or two other things, you might be looking at five or six different calculations to make that happen depending on how you operate. So we're fortunate that this year, some of my favorite presentations were talking about giving a lot of love to this sort of much neglected metric. So I'm going to start off with Tristan Gillivan, who followed me on stage, gave a presentation about sort of a visual revolution. So Tristan has been doing a lot of work through his consultancy that he operates. He's a solo, he's an independent guy. La DataViz, not LA DataViz. If you hear his French accent, you'll know why. A big part of what he's been doing is trying to create easy ways to create difficult charts. And he's created these wonderful generators, which let you make network diagrams and Sankeys and chord diagrams and bee swarms, all these charts that are non-native to Tableau and usually a hassle to make. They require a lot of trial and error. They require a lot of formulas. They require a lot of investment in the person making them. And he has created these generators where if you upload a data file in the correct format, it will automatically generate it. You do a little tweaking, and then it will spit it out into a Tableau workbook where you can do some of the sort of cleaning, color, and manipulation that you would do otherwise on any other chart. So he's really, I say he's doing God's work in that way, making creation so much easier for people, but it's also putting an impetus on us to better understand when you should be using these. So hopefully we're working through the bad ideas and getting to the best ideas quicker. But that was the beginning of Tristan's presentation. And he's using ChatGPT and other things as well to sort of help him come up with the calculations to make these things work. I was experimenting with that myself today, using ChatGPT to help me write better Tableau calculations. So not only being able to feed things into it, ask it if you understand what it is and get feedback on how it works, but using that then in turn to help write calculations that are sometimes trickier. So that's been cool. Tristan is also working on something which he plans to drop the beta of in June, so a few weeks. And I outright tweeted Ryan Ate saying if Tableau does not license this, they're leaving money on the table. And he's calling it Bang. It's Ban Generator. So the idea being, as I mentioned before, bans are often a lot of work to make. They're highly effective. They're really useful. Everyone likes them. But in order to do them really well, it takes a lot of work. And especially if you're a newer user, or, you know, sort of lack confidence in some things, it seems like it's not worth the juice is not worth the squeeze, as my friend David Kelly would say. So what Tristan has created, it allows you to download your Tableau TBX file, which is essentially the underlying formatting of your Tableau workbook. It contains no data. Upload that TBX file to his generator, and then through that, pick the different fields that you want to include in your band. So if you had sales, for example, you could say, I want to see sales for the current year. I want to see the percentage change year over year. And I want to see the value for the last year as well or something. And then when you hit generate, you download the workbook. Not only has it created the calculations necessary to do that, it actually creates a new workbook page with a fully formed band showing those things. So it's really cool. And it really sort of interrupts the entire process, makes it easier to get going. And I think it's something that many people find directly applicable in their work. Like, it's like a very quick way to speed stuff up, especially since Tableau is honestly kind of weak on bands. It's strong in the sense that you could make whatever you want. The downside is it takes a lot of effort to make whatever you want. So this is a way to get that stuff out there quicker. I dream of a version of Tableau where this is much, much easier. And maybe this will be the underlying technology behind that, but we're not there yet. The second big session on bands, which was exclusively about bands, was maximizing your bands for better business dashboards, or as Vince Baumel and Will Perkins wanted to call it, only bands. And they had the only bands shirts on and stickers everywhere to prove it. So besides being a little cheeky, the presentation was a blast. Like, Vince and Will alone are both super fun and delightful guys. And then putting them together on stage and allowing them to bounce off of each other and sort of use, you know, their natural talents both for speaking and humor and putting people at ease, they managed to create a really compelling presentation about the importance of bands, how to use them better, and different versions of them. So it's a really great session, again, going back to the importance of bands, good use cases, and it all goes down super smooth because the presentation is a lot of fun to watch. And it's all framed around a band. They actually use a sort of loading bar every time they revisited their sort of progression page to show you how far along they were in the presentation, which was both good for a laugh every time and also effective in underscoring the importance of bands. So Vince is a longtime friend of mine, one of my very first friends in the Tableau community, and now a colleague at JLL. And Will Perkins, as you'll remember, is a friend of the show and was on last episode with Mark Benioff and Ryan Ate. So it was great getting to spend a lot of time with them at the conference, but really this particular presentation made me realize how I can take my bands to a better level and some great ways for doing that. So it was really essentially apologetics for why you should put more import into your bands. And they're right, because as I said, there's a lot of value you can deliver. You can do a lot of different versions of them. And you can do all of this without having to float things, which I know is so tempting to do, but they give you some great examples, and hopefully everyone is downloading their workbook to check that out in their presentation deck. The last presentation with bands as a key important feature, I would say, was Simon Beaumont and Sam Parsons' presentation. Simon, as well, another longtime JLL friend, and Sam, as well, a fellow visionary along with Simon. So it was really cool to see how they think about data visualization and some different ways for doing things. And in addition to bands, as so many of the other great ideas and features they showed, one thing I particularly liked that Sam came up with was called proportional brushing, which is oftentimes when we filter something, we filter. Let's say you're looking at a map and you want to filter down to Australia and see what the sales are across their various categories. You might have a bar chart over to the side that shows the total sales for all categories across all of your geolocations. When you select Australia, all those bars change, right? It's showing a subset of the initial, but you can't really tell proportionally how much of that initial each of those values is making up because it's been filtered. It's been now limited down to Australia. So one thing Simon and Sam put together, and I think this might be a Sam invention, he called proportional brushing. And using set actions, Sam created it so the bars retain their original length as they would if you were viewing the full data set. But then a portion of the bar highlights to show the length of those Australian data sets, for example. So it's a way to show both the values relative to each other as well as the values relative to the whole. And I thought proportional brushing was just spectacular. But the real showstopper, and I know this excited me, and this is just how geeky we are. If you're not on board with this, like, why are you listening to this in the first place? But Sam was able to create a fully formed KPI-style band inside a tooltip. So Vizen tooltip has been around for several years in Tableau. It's a great way where if you hover on something on your dashboard, it then pops up a little window that can show you an additional extra little chart. Well, Sam went so far beyond that to the point where it's showing not just a ban. It is showing a histogram with sort of Gantz as goals to meet or something. And it's got a gradient background. Like, I was both in awe and slightly kind of pissed off at Sam. Like, it was one of those things where, like, of course you came up with this. Like, why are you so good and spectacular all the time? So it's definitely something I want to sort of look at and see how he made it. I know they had to use a sort of delay on when things load because you can actually click on the tooltip as well, which is a non-native feature. It's a hack that they were able to come up with. So between those three things in terms of using Bang to generate cool new bands and sort of interrupt the difficulty of the process, having a whole session dedicated to making better bands and understanding the value of them, and then Sam Parsons coming up with a crazy band hack, those were like my three huge things out of the conference. I had an amazing time. I got to spend so much time with people, which was really sustaining for me because having missed last year and then the several years before that because of COVID, I felt really disconnected. And while I've done a pretty good job of staying connected to people online, it's really not the same as getting to see them in person. This was actually my first conference to attend as either a visionary or an ambassador. So it was a really different experience than what I got to experience previously. And it was really exciting to be able to attend the Vizzies and see so many people that I've seen coming up over the years now win Vizzy Awards. I was sitting right next to Elisa when she won the Michael Christiani Tableau Community Leadership Award. So Elisa Davis ran up on stage and like I couldn't have been happier for her. Like that's like the best award because really it's like being recognized by your peers as someone that's really pouring, you know, value and your heart into the community and that you're really dedicated to helping other people. Like that just spoke to me so much. And it was so cool to be able to be there with her for that. There's so many people I would love to shout out and just not enough time. I appreciate everyone that came up and said hi, really. My wife often tells friends of ours that don't really know Tableau and stuff that I'm famous. And I'm always the first to like laugh because that's silly to me, right? Like I get it that, you know, I have a podcast, however big or small it may be. I get that I have a few followers on Twitter, and I also understand that Tableau has elevated me in ways by, you know, granting me certain titles. But whether or not anyone else ever sees me that way, which I don't think they do, it was surprising and nice to have people come up and say hello. Say, are you Zach Bowders? Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, I've seen you before. I like your stuff. Like, that was really nice. It was great to know people and to be known. And it was cool to be able to do that for other people, too. There were other people I'd never seen in person before. And it was great to be able to know who they were before I saw them and to be able to go up and say hello. So never undervalue that and understand how much it means to other people. And, you know, take time to do that for people. It really makes a big difference. And I want to thank everyone for that. So with all of that behind us, I do want to tease Ryan Ate has expressed interest in coming back on. He wants to do a recap of the conference. I told him we were going to do a DataFam recap first with me doing some recollections here as well as some call-ins. But in theory and hopefully he should be back on next Wednesday, which will be a bonus episode. So if that works out, that's great. If not, don't hold anything against him at all. Like he's coming off the conference as well. He's all over the place. So we're trying to make that work out in our schedules. But thank you, everyone, for an amazing Tableau Conference 2023. For everyone that couldn't make it, you have my genuine condolences, but there's a lot of new and exciting stuff coming that I think you'll be really excited about, and I hope to see you in the near future. I am working on something, I won't say what it is, with some other people that you'd be very familiar with, and we're hoping we might be able to have some sort of significant DataFam meetup before Tableau Conference next year, and that's all I want to tease. I'm not going to go into any further detail because it's not a done deal in any capacity. It's an idea that started up last week that a bunch of people are really excited about. So stay tuned for more details on that. I'll tease that again in the future. And with that, let's go to the voicemails.
I feel like the conference was really good. It seemed very well organized, and I liked that the branding between Salesforce and Tableau now seemed consistent. Also on the roadmap, it seemed like a lot of the things we're bringing together the best of what Salesforce does and what Tableau does instead of just shoehorning some things in like Einstein or having things be extensions. I'm excited to see what happens with the data cloud and the AI. This is Jesse McConnell, by the way.
Hey, Zach. It's Sarah Bartlett here. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Sarah Loves Data. I'm just wanting to call in and say it was great to hang out with you at TC. I know, obviously, we hung out multiple times. We got to sit next to each other in the opening keynote, which was a highlight. And probably one of the highlights of conference was when you ran up to Ryan Ate right before the keynote was due to start and gave him the DataViz Maverick badge, which he actually wore during the keynote, which was really awesome. But yeah, there's one observation I wanted to talk about was just how the community showed up at conference this year. I mean, we obviously always show up, but I felt like this year people showed up big time. Like the community was everywhere. Obviously, we had visionaries on stage during the keynote. We had this special networking area in the Data Village where we had community meetups for different special interest groups like Black in Data. We had Data Pride in there. We had the community projects. I felt there was a lot of things for everyone, regardless of kind of like what affiliate.
Hi, my name is Kyle Massey. I am a data dev ambassador, and this was my first Tableau conference. I couldn't have been more pleased with how welcome and just appreciated I felt the entire time. There were some issues with space and food, which were very unfortunate. You know, this is my first time, so I don't have much to compare it to. But I know that there were a lot of people that were not so happy about that. But I think overall, for me personally, this added so much value. There was so much value added to being there. And this really has kind of reignited the fire in me for Tableau and data dev in general. So I can't wait to be back and see everybody again next year.
Hey, thanks for sticking around to the end. I really appreciate you listening to the Data Plus Love podcast. If you'd like to see more about what we're up to with the show, go to anchor.fm/data plus love. Just spell it out, not a literal plus sign. Here you'll be able to see our library of episodes as well as interact with them either through polls or comments or leave a voicemail message that I'll put on an episode. You can interact with me personally by joining me on Twitter. I'm at Zach Bowders, not hard to hunt down. And if you like what you're hearing, consider leaving a tip for us or signing up for a small monthly donation at our ko-fi.com/dataplus love. Buying a cup of coffee for the show is just $3, and you could get more if you choose, or sign up to give that $3 or more monthly. Either way, I really appreciate it. Lastly, if you'd like to see more of my public DataViz work, check me out on Tableau Public. So go to public.tableau.com and search for Zach Bowders. I'm the only one. You won't have trouble finding me. I promise. So thanks again for hanging on to the end of the show. I really appreciate all of your listens. And until next time, this has been Zach Bowders for the Data Plus Love Network.